So if you turn over there to Psalm 23, 5, and 6, we're going to talk about provision and gladness. And what I wanted to also underscore here, that there is no weapon formed against you that'll prosper, but his promise will. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but his promise will. I am not foolish enough, but I have become more wise in my later years to believe that people get caught up in things not because they desired it, designed it, or fell in a deception too by another person. I believe that the enemy went after them with weaponry and broke them down to be pulled into something that would be harmful for their life, something that'll hurt them. I firmly believe that God wants to help each and every one of us on our journey. He always wants to be there for us. Always wants to provide for us. It says here, after they've gone through the part of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We go through the laying down in green pastures, being by the still waters, being led down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It all of a sudden switches now. We're going to move from outside, and we're being literally brought in now to the home of the Lord. He's bringing us into the house now. It's a unique analogy here, what happens. And it says here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And it literally, it goes on to say there that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And we're going to see what this means in a moment. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a unique thing. You see, nothing is really hurried when you're on the journey with the Lord. We're the one that steps on the gas pedal because we want to see things done so rapidly. The Lord is patient. He's kind. He's gentle. And literally, there should never be confusion on your journey, because confusion doesn't come from God. Confusion comes from the enemy of our soul. Peace is from God. The Bible is very strong on the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So if you're feeling confused today, just rebuke the enemy. God has your journey set before you, and he's just willing and wanting and desiring deeply that you follow after that journey and you find that place to where everything will be right in your life. It's an amazing area that we see that. We find that there's provision in the wilderness. There is. There's great provision in the wilderness and a home to go to at the end of the day. Verses 5 and 6. There's a home to go to at the end of the day when you're tired and you're weary. You've gone through some experiences through the day. Maybe that valley experience that I talked about last week. And hopefully from that message you understood that the darker the shadow, the closer the Lord. How deep you are into that valley, he's there with you. He's going to bring you out of that valley. That's not where you're going to die. That's what the enemy wants you to think. That's where your character is being formed. And you're learning to trust in God and know what he has for you. You're on a journey. Every one of us today are on a journey. We really are. You're on your own journey. I'm on a journey. And we are on a corporate journey together as we build the kingdom of God together. As Jesus gives us the allotment to do that. One of the great Bible writers, John R.W. Stott, and I have some of his books in my office, writes this: "The scene changes here. I am no longer out of doors, but indoors. No longer a sheep in a flock, but a guest at a banquet." God's children are his guests because they are his friends. You see, when we sing that song, "I am a friend of God," I don't think for a moment that not everybody doesn't get it, but I think a lot of people don't understand that. Because God is so awesome and so holy and so great. And if that's how you want to see him only, then it's hard to be a friend to somebody like that. But when you see God because of what he did for us, it doesn't change who I just described, awesome and holy and great. But it gives us a relationship now through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled. We have been made friends with God. That's what reconciliation is, that God stuck out his hand and said, "Let's be friends." Jesus said to his disciples, "You are no longer my slaves, but you are my friend." That's powerful. Jesus brought friendship into our life. And not only did he do that, but Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go away." Because everybody was wanting to hang on to Jesus naturally. Wanting miracles all around them, wanting him to stay here and be the king of the earth and not leave. I mean, that was a natural response to such a wonderful individual that was there. Peter tried to stop Jesus only because he didn't want to lose Jesus. It was natural. It was there. There was so much that he saw and he didn't want to lose that. But Jesus said, "When I leave, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to testify of me. And he's going to show you things to come." That's what a friend does. He's going to walk along your side. That's what a friend does. He's going to comfort you. That's what a friend does. A friend loves at all times. A friend doesn't keep record of wrongdoings. A friend cares for you. A friend prays for you. A friend makes sure that you have clothes on your back and food on your table if you're going through a struggle. Friends there to laugh with you. A friend is there to weep with you. A friend is there to rejoice with you. You see, that's what friendship really describes. And on the basis of this trust, every moment of the life that we live that is filled with God's rich blessings, the greatest blessing will be an intimate fellowship with God. Last night we had church service at Potter's Hand. It was just a few people. All of a sudden, the presence of God, which was already there, but it came in very strong. It is as though we were all sitting there not wanting to move. We sat there for an hour just in the presence of the Lord. Because God's mercy came, his friendship came, his love came, his healing came, his comfort came. And wow, who would want to leave that? Amen. It was wonderful to have God's presence there. And just like now, God's presence is here with us. And we have a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus. He's our friend. He is so powerful. And what's so comforting to David was that this was the presence right now where he was at with God. It was in the very presence of his enemies. God doesn't want you to look at your enemy. He wants you to look at him. He's got your enemy at bay. They're held back. They're not welcome to eat. They can witness the dinner, but they can't be part of it. They're not going to be able to be part. You see, despite impending danger, the Lord spread out a table for him. And really what it is saying, even in impending danger, God provided for him. The same for you and I. When we go through stuff that is so incredibly difficult to handle, things that we wonder and we sit down and scratch our head and say, why is this happening to me? Did I do something wrong? Why is the enemy allowed to come in? You know, Job had those same questions. His friends lifted those questions up to him constantly. You sinned, Job. You brought this on yourself. But Job never stopped looking at God. The only time that God rebuked Job was at the end, because he was trying to tell God what to do. But what I'm saying to you is, we have to understand that God wants to provide for us, provide for you, provide for me in the presence of the enemy. He wants to say, come inside. They're not welcome. Let's sit down. Let me provide for you. And I want you to know this. He said this because he wants us to be reminded of Isaiah 54:17. He wants us to understand that no weapon is fashioned against you shall succeed. No weapon will not succeed. There's no weapon on this earth that the enemy can do, or your flesh can conjure up, or this world can throw at you that can cause you to fail. It will not succeed. No weapon. Everybody say, no weapon.
No weapon.
Formed against me. Shall prosper. And you shall refute. Send back. Stop. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment. He didn't say you'll debate it.
That's right.
He didn't say in your journey you'll have to sit down at a table and debate it, or go to debating school and learn how to debate and then debate that way. Didn't say that at all. Said you have authority to refute it.
Yes.
To refute it. Any judgment that rises up against you, any weaponry that comes to you, any word spoken against you, you shall refute it. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I think it's wonderful that on our journey we can say that we're saved. I don't know, some folks get so used to that, it almost becomes one note for them. Oh, I'm saved. I used to love it when we had testimony days in the early Pentecost, when they'd stand up, and some of the older folks that have gone on to be with the Lord now, some of the patriarchs, the giants whose shoulders I stand on today to be able to preach the gospel, stood up and said, I'm saved, sanctified, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. People used to start saying, I don't want to hear that anymore. My goodness gracious. I love to hear that testimony. I'm saved, sanctified, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost and power.
Yes.
See, folks love to hear stories. They want to hear something really bad that happened. They can turn up the pulpit television and turn it up and listen to it and all the other stuff. They love that. You know, they want to gain information so after they can start judging. Our position is to love one another, care for one another, uplift one another, pray for one another. That was 3:15 in the morning last night. I'm still up. I'm walking around the house. I'm doing it. I said, you know, Lord, I think I'm going to go to sleep now. He said, I know you're going to go to sleep, but you got to do one more thing. And I said, oh, Lord, I know what you're going to say. He said, yeah, you got to pray. So I went and I got out my prayer list and I prayed for everybody. You know, and I just, you know, held your names up. But I couldn't go to sleep till I could do that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that we have the power to pray for one another.
Yeah.
to lift each other up in prayer and be knowing that we have a heritage that belongs to us. And it ends by saying, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. God will vindicate us. God loves us that much that he protects us from our enemies. He sits us down. And you know, there is nothing more comforting than a good meal. After a busy day, sitting down to a good meal. And you just sit down and there it is. And I tell you, there's nothing more comforting than sitting down to a meal that's been prepared for you by the Lord. Amen. Now some of you husbands are saying, see, honey, call me Lord. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying right now, prepared for you by the Lord, to where you literally are being blessed by God. Let me read this to you. And I tell you, this just spoke to me last night to kind of give you a foundation of what I'm saying about your journey today and through life, what may happen. And you wonder, will anybody come to my aid? I mean, we all would love for a moment to spiritualize and to make things happen. But let's look at something just right now. 2015. And let's try to reflect out of 2 Samuel 17, 27 through 29, when Absalom was pursuing David. David's son was pursuing his father to destroy him. And David and his army were out there. And it's just amazing to me. Read along with me here. When David came to Mahanaim, Shobai, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Michal, the son of Amiel, from Lo-Debar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, from Rogelim, brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, honey, and curds, and sheep, and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. In the presence of the enemies, God sent people to feed David. I mean, they just didn't go, you know, they didn't just go by some place and buy groceries. Man, they brought what groceries are made of. I mean, they brought some food there. They were weary. You see, sometimes when you're weary spiritually or physically, God wants to bless you. You've got to remember, you're on the journey that God has put you on. You're on a journey that He has blessed you with. And I'm going to share somebody's journey just in a moment. It's very popular in the Bible. But I want you to also listen to this, which is really, really, really important. In other words, there's no weapons going to get to you. You have the power to refute. You're going to see this example here in your life to where you're being chased by even someone that you may be a relative of. Maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe a distant cousin, whatever it may be. But somebody that you may know very well. The same blood runs through their veins that runs through yours. But yet, God sent food to bring comfort in the midst of an enemy's plans. He brings us inside his house. Not only did he give him a great meal, have him sit down and find rest there, provision, he anointed his head with oil. Isaiah 61:3 B, the latter part of Isaiah 61:3. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit or a spirit of heaviness. God wants us to be glad. God wants us to smile. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But literally, he wants us to rejoice. Always. Not just when we feel like it. You know, sometimes you look at folks in church and you're wondering, their glad button is broken. Or they got a faulty glad button at the cheap store, and they went over to the expensive store and got the really good sad button. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to do something today. Break the sad button. Get the glad button fixed. And turn your mourning into gladness. Put on a garment that says, I praise the King of Glory. Well, I'm on a journey and he's walking beside me. He's declaring to me the things that are mine. Praise God, and I am glad. Then would you do me another favor? Would you just look at the enemy of the soul, whether it's the world, whether it's your own flesh, or whether it's the devil, and say, you know what? Leave me alone. Because do you see who's walking with me? You know what David did? David looked at Goliath and said, everything you just said is true. I'm paraphrasing. Everything you just said is true. But you're not saying it about me. You're offending the God of all the army of Israel. That's the last thing he heard. You see, let's just get it right. God cares for you. He's with you on your journey. He doesn't want you to be offended. He doesn't want you to be hurt. He doesn't want you to be harmed. He wants you to be glad. He wants laughter. He wants joy. He wants peace. He wants love. He wants an overflowing anointing on your life.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. So many people don't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I've heard them say over and over again, I don't want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid of that. Oh my goodness. I would be afraid not to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Billy Graham said this. He said, I don't know how a person can make it through a day without the Holy Ghost. Amazing to me. It is so important that we understand that we have an unction by him. And without that unction, we cannot be a believer priest.
Yes.
We're on a journey. A journey that starts with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
He's there.
Yes.
He cares about us. He's our friend.
Yes.
No weapons coming through.
Thank you.
Nope. Amen.
Amen.
You know, every time I come to the pulpit, every time before I come to the pulpit, for 38 years, every time I come to the pulpit, whether during revival, during regular service, wherever it was where I was the speaker for that moment or that time, to bring the word, I put on the armor of God.
Yeah. Go.
I gird around my waist truth. I put on a breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I pick up the shield of faith, which will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I pick up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, because out of my mouth this day shall come forth your word.
Yeah.
I'm going into battle, so I've got my shield of faith up. The weapons will not penetrate. I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am.
Yes.
Praise God. I got the Word. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. It's powerful.
Yes.
It goes where you and I can't go. It separates the joint and the marrow. It goes deep within the soul and spirit. It brings to life that which is dead. It heals that which is diseased. It saves that which is lost. It opens the blinded eyes. The deaf hear. The cleft tongue speaks. The lame shall run. The halt shall walk. Hallelujah. Somebody understand today that there is an oil of gladness that God wants to pour on you during your journey. First John 2:20 says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you shall have knowledge. Because you've been anointed by the Holy One. So you'll have knowledge. You'll know who God is. Let me tell you something. If you're on your way down the journey, you come into a corner in your journey and all of a sudden something pops out at you and begins to tempt you, begins to try to draw you away, speak the word at it. I use the word all the time. I pray the word. I speak the word. I praise the word. I live the word. So when temptation comes, whether in my mind or my sight, I say I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That thought automatically goes. Because the enemy doesn't want anything to do with obedience to Christ. You see, we have to be powerful. You see, Pastor, you've done this for years. You're so strong in this. You know what? I am nothing without Him. John 15:5. You and I, we are together in this. We are the body of Christ. We are a corporate set of believers that praise and worship Him. We need to learn to laugh. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to praise. We need to learn to shout. We need to bring back again to the house of God a dance that says, God, I love you. Thank you, Lord. We're consistently being filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God. His cup runneth over, simply stating this, in our journey, our cup runneth over because we have abundant blessings. He blesses abundantly. You know, I've heard people go, I just want just a little touch. You know what I say to God? Give me a big touch. I want a big touch. You know, that person over there asked for the little one. I'll take the rest of theirs and my big touch too. I want all I can get from God. Because without Him, without Him, I couldn't preach. Without Him, I couldn't love people the way I love people. Without Him, I couldn't see the poor the way I see the poor. Without Him, I couldn't see the world the way I see the world. I love sinners. I love them because of the love of God in me. But let me bring this to a place where we can understand something. Goodness and mercy, God's blessing on His people, remain with them no matter what their circumstances may be. His goodness and mercy doesn't leave you. And I'm going to share that with you, show you what I'm talking about there in a minute. The twin graces not only will follow you on your journey, but they will pursue you. They'll be there for you. Because we will end up one day, in which we are right now, dwelling in the house of the Lord. David said in Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. We forget that scripture sometimes. We forget it. I think we have to understand that God wants us to enjoy communion with Him. To enjoy a communion with the Lord, to be part of who He is, that we can be and have great moments in the tabernacle with the Lord. When we enter into the throne room of grace in prayer, we can have communion with God, and we can understand that that's where we want to go. There are many times at the end of a prayer time, whether it's an hour or several hours, that I am through praying, but I don't want to leave. But we are strong in the Lord. We have built our journey seeking a city, a place that was built by God, because the foundations were not built by men. Hebrews 11 and 10. We're looking for that. When the paths 2 and 3 that we walk upon, the valleys and the threats that we go through are over, there comes the real return home. So wherever you are on your journey right now, the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you're by the still waters. Maybe you're lying down in the green pastures. Maybe He's leading you down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Maybe He's restoring your soul. Or maybe you're just beginning in your valley. Or maybe the shadow is so dark right now. You're going to come through. Because He's leading you on a journey. And let me tell you something about somebody that had a great life. Wonderful life. Nice father. Had a great inheritance that belonged to him. Family. Land. Servants. Large, large dwelling place. Flocks, sheep, cattle, rams. And one day he decided that he wanted to change from his journey to journey a different direction. He left. He asked for his inheritance early. He wanted to withdraw it all because he's going to take a journey that the flesh wanted him to take. He went from all the bountiful abundance that was provided for him, not only physically, but spiritually, and all the love that could be given to him. Abundantly. And then he found himself in the darkness with the prostitutes, with the drunkards, with the gamblers, with those that pry to find someone who is starting out a new journey. And they want to take all they can before they realize they're on the wrong path. He found himself no longer eating of the finest of cattle, the finest of kneaded bread, the finest of olive oils, the finest of all the food that could be prepared by chefs in their kitchen. He found himself now in the pigsty, wallowing with the filth of the pig, eating the carob casings, and maybe some of the seeds that were stuck to the carob cases. He was eating on those. And he came to light. He woke up. And in his mind, he said, if I could just get back to my father's house, I just want to be a servant. Because I know that the servants in my father's house has much more than I have now. I've spent all my inheritance. I've spent it all. He stepped out of the pigsty. Didn't say he cleansed himself. Didn't say he cleaned himself up. Didn't say he spit out carob seeds that are already probably chewed a little bit. The shells that hold the seed and the carob. The meals that they were eating. Didn't say he spit those out or anything. Said he changed the direction of his journey. And he headed back to his father's house. I'm just trying to tell you that he headed back home. Yes. Free. Yeah, I just want you to know that when he got home. Yes. It didn't take a moment for his father to make a decision. He saw him because he was looking for him every day. Yes. Morning, noon, and night, and he ran to him. Kissed him, put a ring on his finger, a cloak on him, and shoes on his feet, and said, "Slay a fatted calf, for my son that was lost has been found." Hallelujah. He that is dead is alive. He's returned to the journey that he should be. So many took so many journeys. Joseph, what a journey. He just told everybody he had a dream and ended up going through everything to get to a place where he could finally help the people that hurt him. Maybe we should help people that hurt us something a while. Nehemiah gave up a safe job, well, safe as that could be, drinking the wine before the king does. Secure job, anyhow. He had job security. Went to build the walls of Jerusalem. Worked with Ezra. They finished it. And all the exiles came back home to Jerusalem. We find Gideon in a wine press, dressing wheat because he was afraid of the Midianites. And the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. He said, "You're on the wrong path. Come on out here. Go tear down that barbecue pit in the backyard that your father uses to offer to Baal. Tear it down and go after what God is going to tell you to pursue." Maybe you're in the wrong place today. Maybe you're doing something in a place that you feel is good, you're doing it, but you're in the wrong place doing it. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Paul, a very self-righteous man, learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Very wealthy family. He had all the money he could ever want. Hated. Excuse me if I've used the term for the kids that shouldn't hear, but he hated Christians. Threw them into prison. He was at there when they stoned Stephen. When Stephen said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them, Father." He had Stephen's clothes at his feet. He was on a journey to get more Christians, and he met the Lord. And it turned him around and put him on the right path. God has a journey for each and every one of you, has a journey for all of us. So today I'm not going to say to you over and over again, please come to the altar. I'm not going to do that because I do have great compassion to bring people to the altar. I really do. I don't like prodding. I never do. I just love to have people come to the altar and get touched by God. But I'm going to ask Pastor Everett to go ahead and begin to sing a song. And as that song resonates in your heart, and I believe it will, I believe it will, come to this altar and let God confirm your journey. I mean, there's people in this room today that are questioning their journey. How do you know those things, Pastor? Because God has gifted me. Questioning your journey. You have somebody in this room is trying to make one of the biggest decisions they've made in a long time. I know I can point you out. I won't do that. This is not about that at all. I'm just letting you know that God knows where you are right now. He's going to provide. He's going to show you wisdom. He's going to take what you think is destroying you. He's going to remove it. And he's going to bless you. We're about to sing a song in a moment. And I want to give you instruction right now. As we sing this song, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit talk to you. And I expect these altars are going to be full this morning. Not because you're on the wrong journey, because you're going to be reminded of something here in a moment in this song.